Hello, hello, everyone. Charles, JP, Greeny, and to everyone listening, we are Brits in the End Zone Bites, a podcast of four mates discussing the NFL from a British perspective and talking people through the world of fantasy football. If you're new to the concept, we'll be talking you through how it works and who you should be drafting as we approach the season. So make sure you follow close and get involved. I'm Adley, and I am joined by JP. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Greeny.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Charles.
Hi, everyone.
And of course, Charlie, our engineer. Not sure if he can speak at this point.
Hello there.
Oh, very, very dramatic.
Very nice.
Enjoyed that. How's everyone's week been? Big week, this one, for no reason other than the fact that Love Island has started again.
Oh,
so we won't make this whole podcast about Love Island, but it seems a shame to not mention it.
Can't ignore it.
No.
As much as we like to try.
Well, you've all watched, Green, I know these two watched it, did you, Green?
I don't think I've watched reality TV since Kate Lawler was in the Big Brother house.
Great series.
Like 15 years ago. But now, you know, I watched
you
the
went
first
out,
episode.
You went out on a high then. But I suggest that you all get into it. It's pretty good telly. And similar to the NFL in many ways. So, what's up on the show this week? As always, we'll be taking you through the top news in the NFL. Courtesy of Charles, we'll be breaking down the tight end position and who your top fantasy tight ends and sleepers are for the year ahead, as well as some more general fantasy chat. We'll be talking latest trends on Twitter, like hashtag 32 NFL teams and what that means. Greeny will be hitting us with his top three this week. And we'll end the show with some of your questions and also some trivia from Charlie. So that was a bit of a mouthful, but we got there.
Yeah. Got there in the end.
That was a good show.
Great. Start with Tailgate, which is where we talk about our sponsors, MSG Free Chinese. So Zing Zing, they're based in various places like Kentish Town, Finsbury Park and Kensal Rise. Basically just those places, yeah. Nowhere
London.
Else. We have a new code for you. There's been some naughtiness on the internet with sharing code, so let's keep this serious.
Keep this clean.
Yeah, the code is ENDZZ20, and that will literally get you 20% off food.
You sounded like the guy who's just gone to someone's house for the first time and reading out their password on the back of the modem.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. So it's working because people are actually in their numbers using this and getting fat. They're not getting fat because there's no MSG, so yeah. We're all happy.
Probably lose weight.
If anything, yeah. So there you go. Thanks for being our sponsors, for giving us free food. Just to lighten the mood, I'm drinking chamomile tea. For my throat, I've become a bit of a diva. So we should talk about this 32 NFL teams. So I'll start off by saying that you should all follow along on Twitter. I guess it was a chance for us to get talking to people who are listening to the show. We're going to go through a different team every other day, talking stuff like who are their best players, who are some of the famous fans, who you should be looking out for, and all that kind of stuff. So we've had some good reactions, haven't we?
Yeah, we started off with the Falcons. We've done the Packers and the Giants so far. We've had some really good fan interaction on Twitter.
And I guess by the time this goes out, it'll be my turn, and I would have picked a team. So
who are you gonna pick?
Revealed later.
Something like yeah, exactly. So yeah, get involved. Hashtag 32 NFL teams. The highlight so far was probably what's his name? Keenan and Kel.
Yeah.
It turns out he's now a fan of Bites.
He's a big fan, I think.
Yeah.
he's a Falcons fan and
who does Kel support?
Orange soda.
What a
shirt.
That was, I mean, I know Love Island is great and all, but that was the golden age of telly, wasn't it? Sabrina, Two of a Kind, Saved by the Bell, Hang Time.
It was just stunning.
Showing
what
my
time
age.
To be alive.
Stunning. It was stunning.
But so, we had Keenan, a big Falcons fan, actually like get involved in some of the chat and retweeted us.
Top
that
lad.
That was really cool.
We should get him on the show. That would be epic.
And yeah. my particular highlight of the 32 NFL teams so far is when Greeny took control of our Packers day,
never to be done again,
and was tweeting the celebrity fans. So I mean, there were quite a few of them:
Ellen DeGeneres,
Harry Styles, and the famous actor Ryan Reynolds. And I was checking the Twitter feed, having a look through, and noticed that Ryan Reynolds only had about 3,000 followers and was not the right, not quite the correct Ryan Reynolds.
Oh god!
But fair play to him.
If you've got the tagline at Ryan Reynolds,
and he was verified,
you assume it's going to be him.
He deserves the blue tick.
He deserves the hate.
But he actually got in touch with us after being. After being tweeted and told us he was in fact a Bears fan.
Oh, great. Well, so, we'll get him involved.
Yeah, when we cover the Bears, at Ryan Reynolds, First on the list.
Hopefully he's listening. So
he might be. There's a funny story about that. I think it's John Lewis, obviously legends in the UK. There's a guy called John Lewis, I think in the States, who has the @JohnLewis Twitter handle, and he's always over the years redirected people in a very kind way. And as a result, I think they give him like a bit massive voucher at the end
he
of every
be
year.
So sick of it.
Yeah,
especially when the Christmas advert comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're getting really off topic here. Let's talk about news in the NFL. Charles, do you want to take us away on this one?
Yeah, sure. Hi, guys. I start off with the...
That's it again. I love saying hello at the beginning. It's so cute.
Well, I can't help myself. Let's start off, as I tend to do, with the more admin-y side, you know, the player movements. Probably the most surprising move over the last couple of weeks was the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin, wide receiver, and he was a big free agency acquisition a couple of years ago from the Philadelphia Eagles, Adley and Charlie's team, and he had a really good first year. Last year, slightly disrupted by injury, but you know he was still meant to be their number one wide receiver, and you know never in doubt. And it kind of came out of nowhere, so much so that I think you know even Jeremy Maclin tweeted that you know this business is a bit of a tough business because he didn't even know he expected it himself. So it's that was big news. And now
it is big news, but and considering Andy, there's a picture of Andy Reid at Maclin's wedding only like a year ago.
Yeah, Andy Reid, obviously the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
But do the Chiefs actually need a wide receiver? Because they had a very productive year the season before without getting a receiving touchdown.
That's because they had Jamal Charles.
Sorry, are you being serious? They didn't have a receiving touchdown.
The year before last.
Yeah, that's mental. Yeah. Surely that's like the first time ever, no?
So there was like a big celebration when Maclin finally got it.
Well, Jamal Charles scored, I think, 40%. Oh,
he must have scored like 100%.
He scored 19. Charles scored 19 touchdowns and accounted for 40% of their yards.
Right, sorry, you mean there was no touchdowns from a wide receiver?
Correct.
I thought you meant they just threw no touchdowns the whole year.
Alex Smith probably would have been sacked.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or will be.
They've drafted Mahomes, so you know, time is
Where do you think Maclin might end up?
Well, I mean, plenty of teams will be wanting to have him. I mean, he's a you don't often get this sort of level of wide receiver kind of appearing.
So you're doing a bit of a Theresa May on us here, Charles. give us answers.
By virtue of the fact that they've got the worst receiving core, I would say the Rams. But whether or not they've got the cap room to be able to, you know, offer a competitive contract to him is.
I was reading something. I think it was earlier today.
I think
or yesterday.
Team was mentioned.
The Rams.
That the Bills have actually shown quite a lot of interest, and Shady McCoy has been talking him up. They were together at the Eagles.
Yeah.
So
is Rex Ryan their coach?
No, not anymore.
He got sacked. Oh. We'll be talking about him in a bit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I like the Bills or even the Browns. I think we could do with someone like that.
The Browns will definitely do with him. And I think if he gets, he's destined to see the Bills in the next few days. And if he comes out of the Buffalo without a contract, he's going to go see the Browns. But I think he's going to go to the Ravens. So getting rid of Steve Smith, well, not getting rid of him, he retired. They need that kind of inside, short distance receiver, really.
Isn't he an outside receiver?
He plays across the field.
He catches the ball.
Yeah,
he's one of those.
But Perriman's in line for a big season, but they do need that supporting cast, really.
Okay.
Cool. Well, yeah, well, that's Jeremy Maclin. Another bit of a player movement is one we're kind of used to hearing in the last couple of years in the NFL. Christine Michael, otherwise known around the internet as The Awakening, has just signed for a new team again. I think this is his fifth team. In the last 2 years, or last three years,
something's not right when you've signed for five.
Yeah,
different
he's
teams.
Joined the Colts. He's joined the Colts. He's been dropped by in the last 2 years. Been dropped by the Cowboys, the Packers. He was dropped from the Redskins practice squad and the Seahawks twice. So that's a nice endearment. Dropped once. Oh, they'll re-sign you and then just drop you again. I mean, it's a bit of a joke.
Clocking up the air miles.
I think exactly. We might be the only podcast talking about this news here because all the other podcasts must be so bored.
Well, we weren't around when the Awakening was a thing.
I don't think there are any other NFL podcasts.
No, but the only one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The only one worth listening to.
But apart from our friends at the other ones. But yes. We won't plug them.
But, so I thought I'd had to mention The Awakening because he always gets... a bit of a buzz around the internet. So
absolutely. Okay.
Time for another one. And another bit of news. Adley, you mentioned Rex Ryan, who was the Bills head coach. Him and his brother, Rob Ryan, who was the, I think, offensive coordinator with him, or assistant coach. They, having been sacked, have just been, sorry, defensive coordinator, has been spotted in a bar fight the other day, watching college football, and just, they're both quite large.
You know what? It's,
big
it's funny you say that, because when I, well, what I was going to say before is when I see Rex Ryan or think of Rex Ryan, I kind of think of a bit of like a Southern American guy who likes shooting things, but also seems quite friendly. So shooting, but with a smile on his face.
I was kind comparing of the vibe him the other day to John Daly, the golfer, and I think you'd like that comparison.
Yeah, that's harsh on John Daly, who's arguably the biggest legend of all time. But but Rex is okay.
But yeah,
the best thing about Rex is the name Rex.
It's a good name. but yeah, he got it. There's a video. It got caught on video. Him getting in a kind of pathetic bar fight. It's quite funny to watch because he's got like long grey hair and he looks like a hippie from the 60s. And he's just getting into a fight with like this 25-year-old and trying to grab him. It's, you know, it's probably now. Luckily for him, he's not actually in charge of any team, because that would probably be quite frowned upon to be doing.
We'll send out that link after.
Yeah,
after
exactly.
The pod.
We'll be, and you can have a look at that yourself.
15 years' time, I really want to see the same thing happen to Phil and Gary Neville.
Like that could well happen.
They've got quite a few mentions on the podcast. Who do you to always mention?
Who
Gary
do you
Neville.
Prefer out of Phil or Gary? Quick, just want a name.
Gary.
Full house for Gary.
It's got to be Gary. Yeah. I feel sorry for Phil, but he's just not as good.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's
now I feel a bit bad for Phil, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Move on.
But
he's had a better career than I have, so whatever.
Yeah. Another bit of news is that the NFL have relaxed some of their rules recently. They're becoming quite often known as being really overly harsh and some kind of taking unusual stances on things. And one of the things that they did a couple of weeks ago that we'll mention later on in the podcast is that they've relaxed a lot of the celebration laws. They'd been really strict on what players could and couldn't do, mainly couldn't do, to celebrate, which were ridiculous, but they've kind of realised, you know, it's a game, let's have fun with it.
Well, we said last week we should talk about celebrations, so we should do that later.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll do that at some point.
But and also another law is that they've relaxed the fact that they're now allowed to be have advertising with alcoholic drinks, which they hadn't been able to do for the last, you know, 20 years or whatever. So it kind of just shows
NFL, it's rare that they want to pass an opportunity out to make some money.
No, absolutely. But I mean, whilst in and of itself, that's not that exciting, it is kind of good that the NFL are showing signs that they are leaning towards, you know, being
getting
a bit
people
more
drunk.
Yeah.
Getting people drunk and seemingly having a better time and not being too over the top.
Have they got like a new kind of like a student taking over NFL? You know what
Roger Goodell's got an intern.
Yeah, celebrate and get naked and do it drunk. And that's
whiskey and twerking.
Yeah. Thursday nights we're doing Red Bull vodka.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's something to look out for. Any more changes they might want to make? And last bit of fluffy news to, you know, end the news is that Eli Apple, who is the cornerback from the New York Giants, he was a first round draft pick last year. He made a comment on Twitter saying that he needs to get in better health, and maybe his mum might have to stop making him so much fried food, which would be probably as a joke, but his mum got very offended and went on a massive Twitter tirade against him, saying, "How dare you say that I do that? I never kick you all this fried food." So it's quite funny to me.
I love it when the parents get involved. We spoke about it on the last pod or the one before. Yeah, they're so entertaining.
It's amazing.
Do any of our parents have Twitter? Or
not Twitter. My mum has Facebook. She'll be listening. She's great on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've got her on Twitter as well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I messaged her happy birthday.
She hasn't followed me, so that's a concern. Mum? So, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's the news. Good news. Good news in and around the NFL. Thank you. Dan's top three. Greenie's top three. I've got nothing written down.
Okay, well, you don't need
to. It's always a surprise.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of... You know, outside of the train stations, they give you these energy tablets, things for free, like as a promotional.
No.
I've had one of those, so I'm a bit buzzing. So calm me down if I get too enthusiastic or excited. Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Right. So at the moment, we're all fascinated by rookies. We're fascinated by the draft. We're fascinated, will they play in the OTAs? Will they get close to the first team? But I'm far more excited about rookie hazing.
Right, hello. Okay, here we go.
So that is essentially how the more veteran players introduce them into the squad. And so maybe soccer players will have to jump on the table at and sing a song or something like that.
But an initiation, you mean?
Initiation, yes. Sorry. Yeah. And so, but in the NFL, there have been a lot more darker times, and it's come to light over
Soggy
the last
biscuit.
Year. Wow,
Charlie. didn't take
that
long.
That's very Chelsea. All right, so after every time Chelsea, I'm going to kick it off. Okay. So, number three, we're talking about a time where maybe rookies didn't arrive in their big flashy cars and they had to kind of, even if they were big personalities, they would then have to do these mile-long walks to practice every day. And so at the end of practice, Joe Montana, who we mentioned in the first podcast as being one of the best quarterbacks of all time, he, at the end of practice, used to escape a bit early because he's a quarterback and throw all the rookies' bikes into the trees.
How do you throw a bike into a tree?
That's quite one-handed.
If anyone was going to do it, it would be him.
It would be the quarterback.
I can't help but imagine throwing a bike like he would do an NFL ball, which is
he's probably just like juggling them, one on each hand.
They just love throwing stuff. Cam Newton with his laptops and Montana with his bikes.
That's their practice, isn't it?
That's what they do.
They were born to throw.
Yeah.
Not Blake Bortles, but everyone else. All right, so number two, this is actually one of the ones they can get away with right now. So they give them all little funky haircuts. So some of the good ones over the years has that been Tim Tebow, who's quite a devout Christian. They gave him like this Friar Tuck haircut, which is kind of funny. Very bald in the middle. They also have to get their like facial hair and haircut all on one side of the face. So they look ridiculous. And it's just quite funny, these big personalities from college. And then like the small dog. So I think my favourite was Kevin Haslam, who was the offensive tackle for the Jaguars. Now a free agent, so you may not know of him. But he essentially had a big cock on his head for a...
No, but wasn't I? Yeah, there we go, I threw that out there.
Who hasn't at one time or another?
No, exactly. The old classic. But they used to do that back in the day in football, obviously, like you said, before sportsmen and became, you know, really rich even at a young age, and we had like, you know, Dele Allies and all that, just earning hundreds of thousands. They used to, you know, go up through the academy and wash the older players' boots and stuff. So I feel like that's been kind of lost in the modern age with all the money going around. So it's quite nice that some of this sort of stuff is sort of still going on.
Yeah, but then I this doesn't really come into it as much, but I have seen where offensive linemen would then just beat up the wide receiver. You kind of want to draw a line.
You need to be careful
goes.
Who you pick. Yeah. Don't pick the offensive lineman.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick the kicker.
And there was one story just before I move on to the number one. But when Aaron Hernandez joined, he was sitting in the film room. Aaron Hernandez recently,
rest in peace.
Yeah, committed suicide. Yeah, so he was waiting to use the video equipment. He saw Wes Welker walking past, and he says, "Well, Wes, can you help me?" He comes back with, "Sort yourself out, rookie." And then he just went on this tirade, "I'm going to come after your family." And then you don't really realize how probably serious he was at that point.
That was so David Brent.
I honestly do not know what has just happened.
None
of this is being cut.
About five minutes ago, we panned over to Greeny's top three. I said, "I've got nothing written down here," and I thought I could trust you. Within about 5 minutes, you've gone from a man not only who sadly committed suicide, but thinking that beforehand he went around thinking that he was going to go kill other people. I mean,
never said that. No. Number one. Lyle Blackwood in the mid-70s, he may be...
Greeny's number one.
If anyone's listening that is a lawyer, please get in touch.
So, Lyle Blackwood in the mid-70s was known as part of the Bruise Brothers for the Dolphins defense. When he was at the Cincinnati Bengals, he used to go up to these impressionable rookies on the sideline, perhaps during games, and go, "See that woman over there? She's looking you up. She's got the eye for you, and I can hook this up. I can... let you meet her after the game." So then he would get the woman involved, and as they're about to have this meetup, he would jump out in this coat and the shotgun with blanks.
Wait, what?
He would create a meetup between this woman and the rookie.
Right.
Then, as they were meeting at the end of the game, he would then, in a trench coat, appear with a shotgun... with blanks in and scare the hell out of this rookie.
Greeny, have you just like read a book on the biggest lunatics in the NFL or something?
Essentially. Yeah, so there was one incident where this rookie just ran as fast as he could over barbed wire and wasn't seen again for another 6 hours. So,
oh my God.
Scary time in the NFL.
Terrifying.
That is...
Yeah.
It's a lot safer these days.
Thanks, Green. That's really lifted the mood.
Yeah. that reminds me of the episode of Dream Team where the goalie showed up to training with a shotgun. But anyway, we'll cut that bit.
Greeny, that's the last time you you don't send anything around beforehand.
Yeah. Dream Team was actually amazing.
I thought that was my best
Dream
top
Team
three,
was phenomenal.
Hartchester. Anyway, let's move on to something a little bit more friendly. Let's talk about a position in the NFL. So, JP, we're up to tight ends. What have we done so far?
We're up to tight ends.
We're up to tight ends. We've done quarterbacks, we've done running backs, wide receivers, so tight end makes sense. Talk us through the position for people who may not know. Because we're getting to the point now, I think, where positions where people like me, we kind of vaguely know what they do, but we don't really know that much. So it'd be good to get a bit of an explanation.
Cool. So, the tight end. I mean, in my eyes, it's a position where your most athletically gifted players play. They're usually the ones that they're big, they're strong, they've got to be quick, they've got to have the ability to block players, and also the ability to catch the ball as well. I mean, they're essentially sort of an offensive lineman and a wide receiver sort of rolled into one.
What's an offensive lineman?
We'll be going into that in later episode.
We but have mentioned it in a previous episode.
Are you trying to be cute, Greeny?
Trying to do your role, essentially.
Convincing.
I mean, they're effectively be that extra guy at the line trying to help block, so either the running back can get through or...
So the quarterback doesn't get hit.
Or the quarterback doesn't get hit, exactly.
Wait for a wide receiver to get free.
Yeah, so some teams are going to use the tight end sort of primarily as a receiver as well. So think how sort of the Patriots use Gronk or sort of the Redskins use Jordan Reed. They're basically sort of an extra wide receiver and they can create these defensive mismatches sort of all over the field. So they're if you've got, you know, one of the top end tight ends that are good at receiving, they can really do a lot of good stuff for you on offense.
They're normally tight ends are always really big as well, so that they really do cause a mismatch, like you say, that the size is just, you know.
And you see these videos of just tight ends carrying players along the field once they've caught the ball.
Yeah,
and these guys they're usually sort of 6'5" plus, but can also run, you know, their 40 times that they do in the draft, or can run like the 100 metres as quick as your wide receivers as well. So
a lot of them play basketball at college as well because they're obviously tall and athletic.
Yeah, we've mentioned some of them, like Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, quite a
few. What happened to Jimmy Graham? Because like a few years ago, it was like him and Gronk.
He left the Saints, didn't he?
Isn't he just flying around in his stunt planes right now? he didn't have Drew Brees in the last couple of years, which obviously doesn't help. But he had a huge injury after his second season. But he actually had a decent year last year after coming back.
Is he still at the Seahawks?
He is indeed.
Okay,
watch out for him.
There's a lot of pressure for Russell Wilson to throw it to him more, so maybe you might see that more this season.
Okay.
It's kind of sort of universally agreed around the NFL that Rob Gronkowski is the main man. He's your number one tight end. You know, it helps when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, but Gronkowski, you know, he is the man. We've mentioned all his off-field antics. You know, if he manages sort of stay fit, avoid injuries, he could easily go down as sort of the greatest tight end of all time. And, you know, along with one of the most well-renowned celebrations, the Gronk Spike.
Absolutely. Gronk Smash.
Gronk was my first pick he was a first round pick for me last year. I didn't particularly do well, but that just kind of does go to show how, you know, they are essentially, some of them are just like wide receivers, and that they'll go that early.
And to show his power, as JP just mentioned, the Gronk Spike, he would get the ball after a touchdown and just smash it as hard as he can at the field. And I don't want to be there when the ball is bouncing back out.
What are other good celebrations then? Come on, we've brought this up. I'm going to talk about my favourite one, which is Chad Johnson from the Bengals, because I'm a big golf fan, and he took like the pole at the end in the end zone and putted the NFL ball down the line, which I thought was just quite cool.
Because
like you said, normally you must be so pumped up, you're full of, you know, adrenaline, you've just scored a touchdown, you want to do something like the Gronk Spike, or, you know, you want to do the Lambo Leap. Good knowledge. Oh, thank you very much. But no, he just thought he'd gently put the ball down the line. Quite good technique as well. So, you know, there you go. That's my one.
Yeah, so I'm going Antonio Brown, 2015. He got his third touchdown against the Colts. He did a running A return touchdown, 70 yards, gets into the end zone and runs as hard as he can at the goalpost and just kind of jumps into it, wraps his legs around it, yeah. Very much like a Bronco Buster, if you remember wrestling.
It's got to be painful.
It just looked amazing. You could just see his like, face squash against the padding.
Doing a massive bear, running bear hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite funny.
We're cool. Going to post that afterwards so you can all see.
Charles?
I think one of my favourites, I don't think it's necessarily one particular player. I can't remember who did it, but it was when it's snowing, you obviously have a lot of snow games when players lie down and do snow angels in the end zone. I think that's quite nice. You know, it's one for the kids.
Wasn't the snow angel one was banned, but is now allowed because of the relaxing of the
rules? I actually thought when Greeny said he was talking about Antonio Brown, because Antonio Brown also got in trouble because he did another celebration where he just did some twerking in the end zone. But that is still banned.
You're Why would you ban a snow angel?
No, you weren't allowed to celebrate on the floor. That's something. It was really strict. It was ridiculous.
Fair enough.
But you're not allowed to do any sexually suggested ones. So D'Antonio Brown has to lay off the twerking.
D'Antonio, is that my new name now?
D'Antonio.
If I was a white receiver.
Quite cool, actually. Chuck?
My favourite one is actually a bit of a celebration fail. So DeSean Jackson, who seems to get a mention on every podcast we do,
Eagles legend.
Plays for the Buccaneers now. But whilst he was at the Eagles... Donovan McNabb is thrown like an absolute bomb to DeSean down the field. He's running into the end zone and he's thrown the ball backwards behind him. So on the field of play, as he's running into the end zone and starts dancing, but he didn't actually cross the line for a touchdown.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
So, I remember this.
So he's dancing away in the end zone and the ball is still... live.
That's like literally schoolboy error. You see that in rugby, don't you? When they like jump up in the air to land on the ball and then it just falls out of their hand or something. Yeah.
So
or
funny.
Like when a cyclist starts celebrating at the end of the race and then just like falls
someone
off the
bike. Someone just zooms past.
That happened recently. Like someone thought they were on their final lap, but they had one lap to go. So you start celebrating. Everyone's getting past it. He finished like 44th.
But big fan of OBJ's moonwalk as well. So
that's cool. I love a good celebration. Why not make it fun? Fair enough. Cool.
So some of the best tight ends of all time. I thought I'd quickly run through a few of them, like I have done with the other positions. So Kellen Winslow,
senior. Sorry, I don't know why I interrupted.
So rude.
Oh, that was a useful input. Thanks.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're going to say when you interrupt, teach them.
Objection.
So Winslow, he put together sort of the greatest statistical season of all time for NFL tight ends.
For the Chargers.
Thanks for interrupting again. he had 89 catches for 1,290 yards, which... for a tight end is just insane. Let's not ask questions that I don't know.
Some touchdowns. There we go.
He's known for the epic in Miami, which is when he had 13 catches for 166 yards and one blocked field goal that helped them win the game. Which is
hell of a performance.
Pretty cool. He got carried off the field by the rest of his team, which is pretty cool.
But when we talk about these older players, it is a very different NFL life that we're talking about. Right now, they're far more athletic. They can run a lot further. They were used, back in the day, they were used as blockers more. So it was quite a lot rarer to get these past 1,000 yards. So that was quite a triumph back in the day. Right now, you can get... there were a few players this year who got over 1,000 yards, getting 1,100 yards, and it's not really a song and dance moment.
Bit of immediate feedback for you, Greeny. That was a useful input because I actually learned something. The one before, less so. But that was good.
Next up, we've got Tony Gonzalez. His 17-year career, his numbers are just insane. 1,325 catches, over 15,000 yards and 111 touchdowns.
Wow.
Amazing. He was the first tight end I ever had in fantasy.
Is he the Chiefs?
Amazing.
Is that his main thing?
Falcons. In 2004, he actually led the whole NFL in catches.
Wow.
For a tight end.
That's ridiculous.
And that's whilst he was at the Chiefs. That is pretty incredible stuff.
That is cool.
We've got Mike Ditka. Known to have changed sort of the tight end game in terms of a player that could actually make an impact both blocking and catching, kind of what Greeny was alluding to earlier. His rookie year was in 1961, so we're talking quite a long time ago. And he actually finished in the top 10 of pass catches in four straight years, which is unprecedented in any era. Oh. So for a tight end, you know, that is amazing.
Didn't he become a coach?
Yeah, he was the Bears coach.
Yeah.
We got John McKay, kind of followed in the footsteps.
From Die Hard.
As in McCain Chips.
Yeah.
John McKay.
Is it McKay?
Sorry.
I think so.
I don't know. So he basically followed the footsteps that Dick has sort of laid out, but actually added speed to the effect of blocking. His 64-yard touchdown against the Lions is what he's most known for. He goes past 8 different players. And it was actually coined by the NFL Network as the number one play in NFL history.
Oh, wow.
Really? So, what team was that for? Do we know that? No.
But it was against the Lions.
So it was one of the other 31 teams.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
I think it was a team that is currently not around. I think it was the Baltimore Colts.
Is this a riddle?
I think it was the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, okay.
We'll do some research after the pod and send out
Fair
the
enough.
Link. The final one, wasn't sure whether to include it or not, as he is still active, but Greeny would have shouted at me otherwise.
Gronkowski.
Antonio Gates, his Chargers hero.
Another Chargers hero.
Greeny doesn't talk about Chargers players enough on here, so I thought I'd have to add him in. He said he was going to probably retire at the end of last season. He didn't. He actually equaled the touchdown record that Tony Gonzalez set of 111 touchdowns.
Then how can you not mention
last
him?
Last year.
That's an incredible feat.
He's still active. He equaled it last year, so this year he's going to beat it. He is, as Charles mentioned earlier, he is the product of the basketball player turned tight end. He actually turned up at San Diego, having never played a snap of football, of college ball, for Kent State.
Oh, really?
So he'd never, ever
played. So there's hope
played.
For us.
There's still hope for us.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
But are you 6'5" and catch with radius of a 10-foot man?
Well, yes, for the purpose of the podcast, an audio format, yes, I am.
Gates will go down as one of the best.
I was going to say, it brings me very fond memories of maybe your first year in fantasy.
It was against me.
Oh, Charles.
It was against me.
And Gates is kind of, he wasn't really performing that well, but every once in a while he'll come up with this massive game. Put him in from the waiver wire 3-touchdown game.
I've never forgiven him.
He also does a great cameo on the league.
I think that same week. Because they have an interview with a guy in a sauna saying that you ruined me in that one fantasy week, and I was basically felling on side with that guy because I had the exact same thing happen to me.
You look like him as well.
There's obviously not enough time to talk about all sort of the best tight ends. So not all of Gates, all of tight ends, best ones in history. So if there are any you guys think we've missed out or any you're particularly keen on,
I would have just said all the ones you've just said. Those are the ones that come to my mind.
Make sure to hit us up on Twitter @Brits_endzone and let us know who your favorite tight ends of all time are.
Please do.
Hey, dig deep, dig deep.
Okay, are we moving on from tight ends?
We are.
We're moving on from tight ends to more tight ends about fat. So we're going to talk about fantasy football now. We always try and give a little bit of chat about this so we can kind of get people who are big fans of it through to people who have never really done it before and want to give it a go this season for the first time. So, Charles, who are the top 5 tight ends coming off the board? And also, when do you take a tight end? Like I said, I took Gronk in the first round, but that's literally because it's Gronk. Is it a bit like, you know, a defense or a kicker and someone you could leave to the end or not?
There are different kind of levels of tight end. I mean, Gronk is like the outstanding guy, as we've spoken about. The reason he's been taken in the first round pretty much every year for the last 5 years, and he probably would do this year, because he basically just gives you like 5 or 6 more points every week than any other player consistently. But the problem with him is he's just notoriously injury prone, and it's such a risk, as you found out last year where he got injured for most of the season. It's, you know, do you want to put that much risk in someone who has, you know, missed 3 of the last 6 seasons pretty much?
And if you are on the road to make it to the playoffs from a fantasy perspective, you got at the same time Gronkowski, who, if he's slightly injured, they may rest him for the actual NFL playoffs. So the actual, your biggest games do not align with when Gronk will be playing.
Okay, so who are the next 4 best then?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a drop off after Gronkowski, but because of the old injury thing, it's different. But I think the next guy is Jordan Reed, who unfortunately also has injury problems. Again, I think that's why he's, you know, not, you know, will be drafted later is because you've got to weigh up that risk of.
And he plays for the Redskins.
He's had a lot of problem with concussions.
Yeah.
He's had a scary amount over the last few years. And I think they've actually said if he were to get one more bad one, that it might be sort of where he has to draw the line on his career just because of health concerns.
I had him on a few years ago, just before he broke out, and I had him on my bench for like ages because it was a concussion. I thought he'd be out for a week, and he basically missed the entire season because he kept getting concussions.
Selfish bastard.
Every week we have this discussion of these players doing Charles wrong because they're looking after their health.
If there was a graph of Charles, what he cares about in life, it would be their health versus fantasy points. It would be skewed rather in the favour of
them on
fantasy.
Twitter.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who like watches EastEnders and goes, "You're a horrible person," but actually me.
I would never watch EastEnders.
I remember when Cam Newton got in a car crash and you were fuming.
Anyway, I think the next tight end probably in order would be Travis Kelce. He actually finished last year as the top fantasy tight end. Kind of like under the radar because he didn't really score many touchdowns. I think he only scored about three, but he was. Mm. His yardage was really impressive.
He had that crazy run, actually, when Macklin was out injured. A thing of four, five or six games consecutive of over 100 yards, which for a tight end is pretty impressive. So I mean,
That's good for a wide receiver, let alone a tight end.
I mean, with Macklin sort of leaving the Chiefs, I actually have Kelce ahead of Reed in my rankings.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
As Smith can only throw it like 6 yards at a time, which bodes well for a tight end like Kelce.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think depending on how many... that's the thing. If he needs to score more touchdowns, though, because that is such a big thing in fantasy. So I think Reed finds the end zone far more frequently. But, you know, depending on what happens in the new style of offense without Macklin, you know,
he
could definitely go finish higher up. And then I think fourth in the list is going to be, you know, old faithful Greg Olsen of the Carolina Panthers. He's sort of similar to Kelce. He kind of always is just getting 100 yards, like, or 80 yards every game. Like, he never has a really bad game.
Yeah, he's trusted by Cam. He's the one that Cam goes to.
Greeny,
up and down.
Your brother always picks him, doesn't he?
He does love Greg Olsen. Yeah. But because Cam can sometimes be not very accurate, and Greg Olsen, one of these guys that he just can follow the ball really well and get some great catches. So reliable.
Sounds good to have. Okay, cool. And what about some sleepers in tight ends? So,
the fifth one in the list, I would say, would be Tyler Eifert, because he just scores so many touchdowns.
Did you have a mind blank there, Charles?
I wasn't sure whether to go for Jimmy Graham or Tyler Eifert. So
Eifert again, though, big injury concerns with him.
Absolutely.
Misses a lot of time, but as you said, he is a touchdown monster.
I mean, he's like double digits in a season, which for a tight end is pretty unique. So it's something that's, you know, it shows it against the variances, because Kelce, he'll score maybe two or three touchdowns in a year and get 1,000 yards, but Eifert will get about 300 yards in a season but 10 touchdowns. So they're different tight ends, different needs.
Different drinks.
if we just took, say, like Gronk, who you had as number one, and Eifert as five, where are you taking them in draft?
I think, obviously, because if there were no injuries aside, I think Gronk would be a first round pick, but obviously that's got a factor in. I personally wouldn't take Gronk until the third round earliest.
Good luck.
End of the second, and maybe Eifert seventh. Early seventh.
So I've already promised someone on Twitter that I was taking Kelce as my first pick off the board, so I'll have to follow through with that.
It's a good question. I mean, we spoke about this in terms of quarterbacks, in terms of, I think they call it position scarcity, and that shows, you know, that because there are so many positions, there are so many tight ends, and you only need one, it's a position you can wait on and draft.
Because there's going to be at least, I guess, eight, or if you're in an eight-man league, there's at least eight good tight ends, so you could just
exactly.
Wait.
So, in a normal size league is 10 or 12 teams, and so there are 32 at least tight ends, you know, obviously one for each team at least, but obviously fantasy relevant, a good 20 or so. So you're bound to be able to wait and be able to pick up, you know, a few.
I completely disagree.
Right down the
line. I've been stuck in tight end middle ground for years now. I try and get elite wide receivers and running backs early. Seventh, eighth round, I try and get a middle of the road.
You try and gamble on someone you think is going to be good.
And then I end up with someone like Manuel Rivera from the Raiders. He used to play.
He's now with the Jags.
Is it now the Jags? That's how bad his career's gone. Or these players who may pop up and get a touchdown in 10 yards, or the next game maybe not even get a catch.
So you're thinking, I'm going to go for an elite one early on.
You kind of want to have that reliable player, but you don't want to reach too far.
I've got a good idea. What about if you take... as all of your picks tight ends, and then you've got great bargaining power because
a great trading option. I personally I'd rather, if I'm in sort of the fifth, sixth, seventh round, rather than getting my sort of wide receiver three or running back three or four, I'd rather get my tight end,
get
him early. Yeah. Exactly, get my starting roster sorted, and then worry about
I think that's completely reasonable, but at the same time, I think people should, like, when people do draft, they shouldn't feel obliged to do that. If there's not a tight end they really like, then there's definitely, like, say, once you get to the seventh round and a few of the top guys you really like are gone, don't pick one just because you feel like you need one. Then wait, because if there's no real difference between your seventh favourite tight end and your 15th favourite tight end, you might as well wait till right at the end of the draft so you can build up your team in other positions.
Yeah, because there's some good sleepers out there that you can pick later on.
As we were about to discuss.
A fantastic
segue. Yeah.
Who are the best sleepers in tight end land? Greeny?
Eric Ebron. So Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron.
Ebron.
Eric. Ebron.
Eric Ebron.
LeBron James?
So Eric Ebron.
He'd be a good tight end.
He'd be a very good tight end. He actually, there was talk about him maybe.
He played a lot in high school, I think.
LeBron James?
Yeah, he was. I've watched his documentary. I can't remember what it's called. It's really good. Where when he was at college, their team toy in the huddle was just.
Throw it to him.
So the quarterback literally targeted him every
single time.
Well,
there was a thing
time.
Recently, wasn't there, where I think there was like a LeBron James against Russell Westbrook game. So, mm-hmm. Greeny, keep going.
What are you doing?
Okay, I think there was they played like an NFL game against each other. I don't know. I now feel like Greeny wants to say something. Talk us through the other Ebron.
Yeah, no. So Eric Ebron.
Who does he play for?
It's Eric Ebron.
Who does he play for?
Isn't that what I said? Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Last year... he got only one receiving touchdown last year, 700 yards, which is
not too bad.
So it looks like the yard production is almost there. However, Matthew Stafford was always constantly throwing it to Anquan Boldin, and so Anquan Boldin got 24 targets in the red zones and 7 touchdowns. He is no longer there next season. So if he can sustain that amount of yards and then get a better return on touchdowns, you're looking like someone who's cracking the top five, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was a first round pick when he got drafted out of college, and he's on the road. He's improved, and you know, he could be a good pick.
Okay. We're going to need to rush through the rest of these answers. So just give me their name and their team. Who are your sleepers for tight end, JP?
Julius Thomas just joined the Dolphins. I mean, if he stays healthy, then he's going to have a very good year.
Okay, Charlesy?
I'm going to pick Jack Doyle of the Colts. They always, with Andrew Luck, he always likes throwing to tight end. And that now that Allen's gone to the Patriots, he's the main one there now.
Okay, I'm going to go Zach Ertz of the Eagles because he plays for the Eagles.
Oh, home bias there.
Yeah, exactly. My wife's ringing me, which never happens. Okay. Now let's get to the bit where we answer the questions from people on Twitter and emails, which is good. So, first question is from Dave Roddy at Raw Power Roddy. Is it okay to not have a favourite team? I guess I feel a little bit like that in football land because I support Barnet, but obviously they're not really doing that much. So I watch the Premier League without a favourite team and I quite enjoy it. It does help, I guess, doesn't it, if you've got a team. You kind of want to follow someone, but I don't know. Green?
I think in the NFL, there's like 33 teams. There's 32 base teams and one fantasy team. So I think it's very acceptable to go along the whole season just supporting your favourite players.
We were going to have to change the hashtag there for a second.
Yeah.
But and if you do end up committing to a team but don't feel any allegiance in terms of like geographic or how the team is organised or whatever, you end up going through some really mediocre seasons and... it's a lot of time and commitment, but I feel like you can still enjoy all of the NFL.
I've got a good idea. I'm just going to give Dave a team right now.
There we go.
Twitter poll.
I'm going to give him a team, and it's the Indianapolis Colts.
There we go.
There you go.
That's not a bad
pretty cool team. Okay.
Jags rivals.
There you go.
Couldn't have done that for me. Like,
well, I tried to give you a better team.
Well, why didn't you give
them
the Jaguars, considering they're going to London?
Well, no, because Charles is the Jags.
I'm sorry, there's only one.
We want Jack to keep us updated.
Yeah,
so not Jack, Dave. Sorry, mate. I'm moving ahead. We want Dave Roddy, who might be named after Roddy Woomble from Idlewild, great band, to keep us up to date with the Colts. So there you go. There's your team. Done. Next question from Ryan at Irish Eagles Fee, legend. Is Fournette going first round in fantasy drafts, and can you rank NFC East, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins? JP, is he going first round, Fournette?
No.
Cool. where's he going?
I mean, possibly end of the second round, maybe sort of
more
beginning,
round.
Middle of the third. Depends how many running backs get taken.
But Zeke went first round for us last year.
The Dallas Cowboys had a much better offensive line. The Jags only scored.
I mean, keep coming back to this.
Scored touchdowns.
Yeah, Fournette is a bit of a risk. You know, he's a rookie. There's poor quarterback play. A bit of a dodgy defense. Will his scoring opportunities be limited?
Defense.
I mean, he'll have the volume to put up big numbers, but
okay.
Not
and
sure.
If you're ranking the NFC East, you've got Eagles, and then what are the other three? Which order?
I think the Giants are going to win that division this year.
Agree,
I think they've got a great wide receiver set. They've got a very impressive defense that's getting better.
And a very unimpressive quarterback.
Wow. He could have a decent year.
And then following that?
I think Cowboys are going to regress a bit. So I think it's going to be pretty close. I think the Cowboys will come after. The Eagles are improving and will be better
this
for
is,
it the following year.
This is disgusting.
And then the Redskins
bring
up the rear.
Ryan, the Eagles will win the Super Bowl.
It's a very strong division.
Exactly. Michael Tonner at Mick Tonner 07. He couldn't have been born in 2007, could he? Because that would
probably
be
his favourite number.
Illegal for him to be on Twitter at that such a young age. Anyway, can David Webb be the long-term future replacement for Eli Manning, or has Geno Smith still got enough in his locker to take over? Charles, I hope you know who David Webb is, because I definitely don't.
David Webb was the draft pick they made this year so that they could pick him to be, hopefully, I think, plan to be the long-term replacement for Eli Manning, which I think, you know, with Eli, you know, having an eye on him, a shoulder around the arm, you know, he could potentially be groom
a shoulder
him
around
be,
the arm,
an arm around the shoulder, an arm around the shoulder.
Really, quite flexible
that's
man.
That's a dislocated shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, he could help him.
Throwing
but
technique.
That's the thing. I think a lot of teams, you know, they'll draft a quarterback every year just to hope that they'll be able to hit. And Geno Smith, he's still young, but you know. It's numbers. They'll hope that one of them will hit.
One day he will become as famous as Webb, the referee in the Premier League. Next question. James Beck at JimBeck81. What got your attention the most when you started watching The Gridiron? Well, this question's for me. Quick question. What's The Gridiron? Is that NFL?
That is NFL.
Okay. What got your most attention? You know what? I think for me, the thing that got the most attention was that I think it's actually a really strategic game. And I find that football, whilst it's really good, I feel like there's not that much. I mean, obviously, there's tactics going on, but NFL, there's so much more. And I also quite like the fact that it's not that accessible at the beginning, so I like the fact that you actually have to put a bit of work in and kind of get to know the sport, because a lot of people will just say, oh, it's really boring, it's so stop start, and yeah, that is true to an extent, but if you put in a bit of time, you kind of get to really appreciate how amazing it is. And once you find out some of the routes they're running and all of that, you kind of figure out how amazing it is.
At the same time, it's very approachable that you don't actually have to invest a lot of time in routes and all that stuff. It can be really enjoyable to see these crazy catches,
insane
runs, and how physical specimens.
It was also, for me, looking at good-looking at athletes who are just very similar in build to me. So it was quite relatable.
The umpires.
The umpires, as they've never been called. Rob at Rob Wastony. Who are the most overrated players for fantasy this year? Everyone give one player, just the name. We haven't got time. Greeny.
Oh, that's
on the spot.
On the spot.
Matt Stafford. I feel like he gets drafted in the first seven rounds.
What are you talking about?
I love that, Charles.
JP,
I love
JP,
that.
I'm
no,
off
Charles
JP.
Is panicking. No one's prepared
I'm
for
going,
this.
I'm sorry, Brandon about that, Cooks.
Rob. Brandon
oh,
Cooks.
I was thinking earlier.
Of
this
course,
morning.
It was Charles. Go on, Charles.
Everyone. There we go. No,
everyone.
No, the most overrated fantasy player this year is.
He's panicking. This is amazing.
Just say a name.
He doesn't know a name.
But there are a lot of players I like.
Can you think
Come
of
back
an
to me.
Can
I'm
you
just
think of
say
an
Carson Palmer.
Okay. Can you think of an NFL player, Charles?
Is he rated in fantasy, Greeny? You've had a good minute to now think
I'm,
about
I'm
it. You've gone Stafford.
I'll say
Palmer.
Jimmy Graham.
Okay,
there you
okay.
go. Charles? No,
I'll say
Charles
because he gets injured, Gronkowski.
Most overrated player. That's an horrendous
fantasy
show.
Fantasy wise.
I've got a couple of others just to make up for these guys.
Go
so
on,
I think Amari Cooper's quite overrated this year. Devontae Adams. I actually think Devonta Freeman is going to be quite overrated this year. Losing Kyle Shanahan, we don't really know how he's going to perform.
Yeah,
and
that was it.
In
Tevin
terms of
Coleman
quarterbacks,
as well.
Russell Wilson, I think.
Yeah.
He's always kind of known as a stud, but he hasn't actually put up the numbers consistently.
He's not as good looking as he used to be, is he?
And don't draft Rashad Matthews. He got 10 touchdowns last year.
Is he at a team?
Yeah, he's at the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant Rashad Jennings.
And final question, this is for all of us. We're going to have a bit of fun with this one. This is from Jack, so at Jack underscore Baylor. If each of you were an NFL player, what position would you be best suited to or want to play at? Well, forget want to play at. Let's do what would you best be suited to. And we're going to, I think we're each going to pick for someone else. So we're going to start off here. JP, you're going to pick for me. So be kind.
I see you as our quarterback, Adley.
Oh, I like that. I mean, I like that a lot. There we go.
I've seen you throw in the park. You've got the spirals down. Mm. You quarterback this podcast pretty well. So
Thank you. That worked
well for you. A natural leader, some would say.
Very poetic.
However,
very kind.
However,
what do you want?
We would need a good O-line because I can't imagine you take a hit very well.
I really don't. I remember being out like at uni in clubs. And there'd always be like scuffles, and all I kept saying was, I don't want anyone to hit me. While Charles was happily getting punched in the face, I don't want anyone to hit me. So yeah, I would want a big O-line. Thanks though, I appreciate that. Okay, who's up next? Charles, pick for Greeny.
I think Greeny's, unfortunately for him, not really at the size that would really fit into many NFL positions. But that's one position that could work in your favour is a pass catching running back, like a bit like Woodhead.
Dion Lewis or
yeah.
Kevin Coleman.
Danny Woodhead. I'm focusing on
Edge
that.
White.
Yeah. There we go. But I think of a similar build.
Christian
think,
McCaffrey.
You can be not that speed. But you can nip through the little gaps, a little bit nippy, a bit of a.
I'm not a borrower.
Okay, we've got that down.
Go.
Greeny, you're picking for JP.
So quite similar to how JP said about you, Adley. I think you've got a good throw as well. I take us back to the times we were at the carnival. You had a good throw. You'd win some prizes. You're quite reliable and consistent. Therefore, I'd put you as the centre. You'd be that guy.
That's brilliant.
You'd be that guy.
The long snapper, maybe.
The snapper.
For a punt.
and you'd also hand it back to the quarterback.
Arguably the most important position.
That is
quarterback.
Great. Yeah, I couldn't name you one centre,
neither
though.
Could I.
Alex Mack.
Yeah, we mentioned him. Didn't we?
And then I've got a pit for Charles. I mean, it's set up for me too well here. I'm not going to go offensive lineman, you know, even though you're a strong lad and I think you could stop people. I'm going to say fullback. And the reason is because you're actually surprisingly nimble on your feet. Having seen you on a football field, you're actually very quick around the edges. So
around the tight ends.
I think you'd be running it around and through players quite easily.
I'd be the first and second down back, and Greeny would be a change of pace. There we go.
We'll leave it there. Okay, so just before we sign off, Charlie, I don't even know if you're still there, mate, but if you are, have you got a question for us? We're running out of time.
Yeah, so just to remind you of the scores from last week, you're still all on zero, apart from Josh, who's on 0.5 of a point.
Thank you. Okay.
So tight.
Three topics you can pick from this week, same as always. You've got recreational marijuana, Brett Favre, and the new one, hashtag winning.
Should we take Brett Favre?
Yeah, let's take Brett Favre. You were pushing for it last week.
I was pushing for
you
it.
You were, so let's go for it. Get out.
Let's do it.
Okay, should
have done some
question research.
Okay.
Who was Brett Favre's first completed pass to?
Oh, God, I'm not going to have a clue.
So what was he drafted? 1994.
Was he?
Just made that up.
Something like that. I'm just going to guess Adams.
Adams?
But there might be a player called Adams.
Johnson.
Adams, Johnson, anyone else? Smith could be a shout.
Tony Gonzalez.
I'm going to say himself.
I'm going to say Peters.
Yes, there we go.
Is he the Favre's one?
Brett Favre's first completed pass was to Brett Favre.
I said it!
Charles
I said
it
to himself!
It.
I get a point. Buzzing.
The longtime Green Bay Packers quarterback completed his first pass to himself for a loss of 7 yards. His first attempted pass was a touchdown for the other team.
Did he have any passes for the Falcons? Because that's who he was drafted by.
I mean, he doesn't have every single.
I don't think he paid.
I don't have that ring.
Okay, so that's a bit of background for my answer.
I'm in
good,
the lead.
Good question. Charles has taken a lead there unfairly. so that's it. Please do tweet us at Brits_endzone. You can email us at britsendzone@gmail.com. And join in on 32 NFL teams. We want to hear some of your stories, who you support, what players are good. You need to teach these guys because they haven't won as many fantasy leagues as I have. So they need the help. So that's it. I think we're all done.
Happy days.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you next time.
Take care.
Charles.